Scripture reading this morning will be from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. If you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received this word and were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray. O Lord God, Lord, we open your word, trembling, Lord, because it is your word. Lord, we ask that you would teach us this morning. Lord, we are sinful, prideful people. Lord, we need for you to humble us, that you would teach us your ways. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would equip us to serve you better. And we pray that you would show us our sin, that you would bring us to repentance, that you would show us the error of our ways, that we would be corrected. Lord, we thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for the mercy that you show us. Lord, we just ask now that you would feed your sheep. Thank you for blessing us. Please teach us now, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to focus on one of God's greatest gifts to his children, and that is the local church. I'm going to take a short break this week from Proverbs in order to look at one verse here in Acts in particular. You see, to some degree, we are creatures of habit, aren't we? Even if we're doing what we ought to be doing, sometimes we forget why we're doing it. And so we want to review this morning why we're doing what we're doing. And oftentimes when you review the why, you realize that we're not doing everything we ought to be doing to begin with. So this morning it's back to the basics. We're going to look specifically at verse 42 of Acts 2. And we will see the importance of the devotions of the church that are mentioned here. Verse 42 reads, "And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." Now, certainly there are many other aspects to the local church, many other very important issues, but we won't be looking at them today. We will focus on these four, and these four are very important to the local church. They are just as important to us today as they were to the early church that we read of here in Acts. It says they were continually devoting themselves. You see, they were purposeful. They were deliberate. They were committed to these things. So let's consider these four devotions of the local church. So the outline is obvious. Number one, apostles' teaching. Number two, fellowship. Number three, breaking of bread. And number four, prayer. So as we look at these four devotions of the local church, I know that we can't help but think of other local churches and how some have gone astray from these basics. But more importantly, I trust that God will also open our eyes to any areas in Coram Deo that we need to change, that God would change our perspectives, show us the error of our thinking, and correct us so that our views would be in line with the Lord's. So, let's begin, number one, the apostles' teaching. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. But why? Why were they so committed to the apostles' teaching? Well, it's because it isn't just the apostles' teaching. It's God's teaching. They were teaching God's word. They were teaching God's message, not their own. Excuse me. 2 Timothy 3:16 begins with these words. All scripture is inspired by God. You see, the book that we have in front of us this morning, it's God's word. It's God's word. Yes, some of these words are Moses' words, Jesus' words, Paul's words, but that is insignificant. What is significant is that these are God's words. Now, I don't know about you, but the Bible that I have in front of me has Jesus' words in red and the others in black. But it shouldn't be that way. They're all red. From Genesis to Revelation, all the way through, red letters. So this is God's word that we have in front of us, and we need to treat it as such. Listen to how this is explained in 1 Thessalonians 2:10 through 13. "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Now listen to this. "And for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." So do you understand how we should approach the preaching of the word on Sunday morning? John has said it oftentimes, and it's true. We do not come to hear the mind of Wayne. or the mind of John, or whoever else is behind the pulpit. But we come and we listen to the preaching of the word because we want to hear from God. We want to hear from the Lord. We want to hear his message. And it is through the faithful preaching of the word of God that he speaks to his people. Now let's look at a few passages that explain what God is doing in us through the preaching of the word. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, starting in verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So here we see that the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ is found in God's word. And that's not all. Then we see that God's word is profitable for equipping us for every good work. Also, turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So here we see that God is working through the gifts in the church and through the leaders in the local church to build up the body of Christ, to prepare us and equip us for serving Christ better. So what God is doing through the preaching of his word in local churches is really like continued education. It's on-the-job training. Through the apostles' teaching, we are being trained and built up that we might grow up into mature saints who are better equipped to serve Christ in all areas of life. God is richly blessing us through the apostles' teaching. So it's clear that the apostles' teaching is an incredible gift from God to edify and build up the local church. So let us consider our commitment to it. Acts 2:42 says, "And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching." This is not something that they did occasionally or when they just felt like it. But the early church was committed to the apostles' teaching. This is such an important part of the local church. The time of preaching from God's word is not nap time. It's not play time. I'm reminded of a relative who told me once about his church and how it was just great because they will not allow any children under 7 in the preaching of the word. They're too distracting. And I can't help but think of Jesus' words in instructing us not to hinder the children from coming to him. This is very important. The time of preaching God's word is a time for hungry saints to gather at the feet of Jesus to be fed. And he will feed us. So the church should be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Number 2, fellowship. And they were continually devoting themselves to fellowship. Let's read some of the verses again here in Acts 2, starting at 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Here we see that the early church loved to be together. They loved to be together. Hospitality was common among them. They were eating meals together. They were concerned for each other's needs. If a brother had a need that he couldn't meet, and another brother could meet it, he met the need. They helped each other. They were caring for each other. They were really simply loving each other and caring for each other as you would for your own self. They loved to be together. So fellowship is another very important part of the local church. John 13:35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You see, something would be really wrong if each Sunday morning we all come here and we come in and we sit down and we have our meetings and then we get up and we leave and nobody says anything to anybody else, and we just go home and don't have any communication with anybody from church all week. Something would be horribly, horribly wrong. Do you understand how important fellowship is? You see, fellowship is very important. I don't want anyone to think that what goes on here during the break is unimportant. It is very important. You see, sometimes we tend to think it's just snack time. It's just time to get a drink, go to the bathroom if you need to. But that's not what the break is for. It's time to interact. It's time to get to know each other. It's time to fellowship, to keep each other accountable. It's a time of fellowship where relationships are built, where one man sharpens another. And it's very encouraging to me, very encouraging, to see week after week how this body enjoys times of fellowship. You see, break time never seems long enough. And it's encouraging to see how Even when the meetings run long, people still stay. I mean, it's lunchtime, but people are still staying here, visiting with each other. This is great. This is so important. Fellowship meals. We're going to have a fellowship meal today. Very important. Very important. We need to have more of them. The unity and the love that has grown for each other during these times of fellowship are such a blessing to the local church. And I want to encourage you not only to fellowship with other saints on Sunday, but during the week as well. Be hospitable. Now, I know that hospitality has its challenges. Different challenges, really, for each family here. And it presents different challenges depending on the family you want to have over. But it's so important. So important. And you know, I'm struggling right now with our living arrangements and trying to figure out how to make hospitality work. But it's so important. We must find a way. We must. It's too important to let slide. How else will we get to know each other? How else will we know each other's needs to help? How else can we know what's going on in each other's lives to keep each other accountable? Fellowship is so important. It's so important that, again, that the early church was continually devoting themselves to it. Very important. Now, one last point that I want to make about fellowship is that the fellowship among believers in the local church is so much deeper than the fellowship that we have with other people, that we have other things in common with. And it's all because of Christ. It's all because of Christ. Christ is the bond that has brought us together. And so we have fellowship around Christ. And our conversations go so much deeper than the weather or whether the local ball team won the game last night. When Christ is the common ground, the fellowship is meaningful. It gives us hope and encouragement when we visit with other soldiers that are fighting in the same battle we are. So may we never underestimate the importance of fellowship. Many blessings come from it. The early church was committed to it, and we should be too. So number three, breaking of bread. And they were continually devoting themselves to the breaking of bread. Let's read a few verses. Acts 20, verse 7, says this. And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to depart the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. Also, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So we see here that it was the Lord Jesus who instituted the breaking of bread, and that the early church was obedient in observing this institution, and that we are to continue observing it until the Lord returns. We know that the bread and the wine are symbols of Christ's body that was broken for us, and his blood that was shed for us on the cross. And so several things are going on when we break bread. One thing is, we are remembering Jesus' death on the cross. And as we remember his death, we can't help but remember why he had to die. It was for our sins. And so we are reminded of our sins and our great need for a Savior. And all of these thoughts are humbling, and they produce in us thankful hearts that praise the Lord. So the outcome is praise. We praise the Lord for this incredible act of love that he suffered through on our behalf, bringing salvation to his people. So breaking the bread has much to do with praising our Savior with thankful hearts. And this is a part of the reason that here at Coram Deo, we have an extended time around the table. We don't just tack it on to the end of a meeting. It's not a 10-minute breaking the bread. But we want to take time for men to have opportunity to bring worship, to bring their praises before the Lord, to bring a psalm, a hymn, or a prayer, praising the Lord for what he has done. And I want to encourage you men and young men to bring worship during breaking the bread. Offer praise to the Lord for what he has done. What else is going on as we break bread? Well, also, we are making a profession. You see, when you outwardly eat the bread and drink the wine, you are proclaiming, you are confessing that inwardly, through faith, you are a partaker of Christ's sacrifice. In other words, by partaking of the physical elements, you are professing to be in spiritual communion with Christ. You are claiming to be a child of God, claiming to have been purchased by Christ on the cross. And so because of this profession that is made by partaking in the breaking of bread, and because we desire for our confessions to be consistent, and we desire obedience to Christ, this is why we believe that Christians partaking at the table should also have made a public profession of faith in water baptism. Now, this is a work in progress, okay? Please don't misunderstand. But this is also why the table is not opened for unbelievers or for anyone who is unrepentant and living in sin. And this is also why, in matters of church discipline, if one will not repent of their sins, they must be held back from the table. You see, breaking the bread is not for those who profess to be Christians but live like pagans. But breaking the bread is for those whose hearts have truly been changed by Christ. It is for the believer who come to the table grateful for what Christ has accomplished for them on the cross. Now, there are many more aspects to breaking the bread that we will not look at today. But one last point that I want to make about breaking the bread is that it is not a common meal, but a sacred meal, and it should be treated as such. The Lord's Supper is a visible gospel. It is a memorial of Christ's work. It is a visible picture of a spiritual reality. And the more we focus on that spiritual reality, the more we consider that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth. He lived perfectly and died painfully on our behalf. The more we consider this, the more we will praise Him. You see, the focus around the table is all on Jesus Christ. He is the focus, the work that He has done. And so we see that they were continually devoting themselves to the breaking of bread. Number four, prayer. And they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Prayer is also very important in the local church. Now, we have prayer at different times throughout our meetings, and then we have a time to offer praises and prayer requests, and then we pray for those. And then we can go home and we can continue to pray for those things, those different needs that our brothers and sisters have. So prayer is very important. Now, there's a lot to say about prayer, but right now we're really just focusing on prayer in the local church. And so, it seems obvious, though. What should the local church do with their cares and concerns but take them to the Lord in prayer? God's people should ask God for help. In James, we're taught that you do not have because you do not ask. Certainly, motives play a part in that. But the point is, God wants us to ask. He wants us to bring our request to Him. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you." So prayer is fitting, and it is right in the local church. But we do not only go to God in prayer, bringing requests and taking Him all our troubles, but we also go to Him in prayer with praises, thanking Him for all that He has done for us. Colossians 4:2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So we should be praying in the local church with thankful hearts, giving praise to the Lord, who is the source of all good things. Prayer is so important. The local church must be devoted to prayer. So in conclusion, the early church was continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These four were of great importance to them, and they remain important to the church today. You see, these are not insignificant traditions of men, but this is the pattern that God has given us by which to worship Him. And as we worship Him in spirit and in truth, I pray that you can see that it is good for us and it is glorifying to God for the local church to be devoted to these four things. So may God guide and direct and correct our thoughts and our actions, so that our worship and all of life will be glorifying to Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You. You have blessed us so much. Lord, You have saved us. You have brought us into communion with You. And You have given us the local church. You have brought us into communion with other believers. What a blessing. What a blessing. Lord, thank You. Lord, I just thank You for everyone that's a part of Coram Deo. What a blessing to be a part of a body of Christ. Lord, I pray that You would be at work here. Lord, this is not man's work, but this is Your work. Lord, we ask that You would be equipping us for the work that You want us to do. Lord, that You would be growing us up into mature saints, that we might honor You and glorify You better. Oh Lord, we are thankful for this local body. Lord, we oftentimes underestimate the effects that You are having on our lives through the local church, through our brothers and sisters here. But Lord, You are at work. Lord, we thank You, and we pray that You would keep us from forsaking the assembling together of the saints. We pray that You would continue to open our eyes more and more to the importance of devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We thank You for Your word. We pray that You would continue to use it in changing our lives for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.